As John said earlier, this summer we're looking at the book of Psalms. Not just a random choice, but as a link with our theme of being exiles. Specifically, how we link with the Jewish exiles in Babylon in our present situation. Many of the Psalms were written by David, and others would have been written at the same time. The title of the book of Psalms in Hebrew is Songs of Praise or Praises. But that doesn't really give an indication of the breadth of feelings that are covered in that book. Most of the Psalms do include elements of praise, and some really encourage praise bands and singing and dancing. But there's also despair. There's lament. In places, there's a desire for revenge. There's hope. There's prophecy. There's a wide range of ways of speaking to God and ways of talking about him. The Psalms spoke very clearly to the Jews, but why are they still important to us as Christians? Well, they meant a lot to Jesus. He quoted Psalms throughout his ministry and even on the cross. He knew them word for word. They were part of his regular worship in the synagogue and temple. He'd grown up with them. And they were part of the early church too. Do you remember when Peter first stood up after the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost? He stood up to preach. He quoted a couple of Psalms in that very first speech. And from then on, they've been an important part of our worship. Hymns and songs and prayers, all based on the Psalms. So how do they speak to us now, the beleaguered Church of Christ in the West? Today we're specifically asking, how can we be confident? What reason do we have to feel confident in our faith when churches are closing, congregations are aging, numbers are going down, nobody seems to care anymore, people are more concerned about upsetting other religions, Christianity's just sidelined? Can we be confident in our faith in God in such an alien environment? How can the Psalms encourage us? Well, we've already sung one psalm of confidence, the 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But here's another, Psalm 27, which can be found on page 557 in the Bible. And do keep it open in front of you as we look at it. Psalm 27. Let us listen for the word of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, open our eyes to hear, our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to know what you're saying to us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This psalm begins with a great statement of faith and confidence in those first six verses. And this confidence is repeated at the end in the last two, where David seems to be encouraging his own faith to grow and to stand firm. And in between these two confident statements, we have a prayer. But let's start at the beginning with David's two statements summing up what God means to him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Light is such a positive thing. It gives life and health and general well-being. We've heard quite a lot recently about the dangers of children growing up without enough sunlight because all their hobbies are indoors. Light is essential for life. We know that Jesus said that he was the light of the world and that he brought life in all its fullness. He also brought salvation, which David also mentions, because long before Jesus, David knew God's saving grace in his life. And light also chases away darkness and evil forces, so fear is banished. And there's clearly a lot of cause for fear in David's life. The fact that he chooses the word stronghold indicates that there are threats around and he needs a safe sanctuary. And with God as the stronghold, the sanctuary of his life, he's not afraid. And he follows this up with a personal, much warmer picture of his relationship with God. In verses 4-6, he's talking about God's house, which is mentioned in several psalms because we sang one earlier, how lovely is thy dwelling place. But there's a real intimacy here as he reflects on how much the house of the Lord means to him. And I don't think he means just a temple building. He has too many different pictures in there. David knows where his spiritual home is. And that is with God. We talked some weeks ago about the dual citizenship that Peter mentions, how as Christians we were citizens of heaven as well as citizens of earth. And David knows where he wants to be. He wants to be close to God. The place where his vision is cleared to see just how amazing God is, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. We have a toad in our garden. We don't see much of him because toads come out at night. But we first met him a year past May when I was digging tulip bulbs out of a planter. And I stuck my fork in the compost and it heaved up in front of me. And I thought, something there. So I proceeded a little more carefully with my fork and we dug out this large toad, a big toad, hand size. So we put him the other end of the garden underneath the rhubarb in what we thought was a good home for a toad. And then we continued to dig out the tulips. And a couple of days later, we put in bedding plants. And a couple of weeks after that, the toad was back, digging large holes in the middle of the bedding plants and hiding himself away. If you twitched a leaf, you could see the soil go up and down. You knew he was there. We tried to work out how he got there because the planters are inside a little wall. And we thought, does he climb over the wall? Does he come along? Richard did an experiment with a plank and some sand overnight. And in the morning, there's a wonderful line of toad footprints right along this plank, turning left at the middle of the planter. When we planted the tulip bulbs again last autumn, we put chicken wire over the top and we thought, that's going to finish the toad off, because that was until the tulips came through. That was a couple of months. But when we took the chicken wire off, a few days later, he was back again. That toad knows where it wants to be. That toad knows where its home is. Just as David knew that his home was with God. Do you know where your spiritual home is? Is it where you can be close to God, to appreciate the beauty of his love for you? Because it's in that closeness that David found his confidence in God. I love this psalm. I love all psalms. But I love this psalm particularly because it is so confident. But it isn't overconfident. We all know what people who are very self-confident are like. They can just get a bit overconfident and then it can end in disaster. But with God, it's not going to be God that fails. It's going to be us. And David knows that it isn't enough just to be confident in God. But prayer is absolutely vital to keep that closeness and that clarity of vision that he so prizes. Prayer that God will continue to care for him, not taking him for granted. Prayer to keep on the straight and narrow. David, as we know, had his temptations and had his moments when he strayed far away from God's way. He knows he can easily stray and separate himself from God. Separate himself from the God who can provide all that he needs. His sins would separate him from God. From the God who's his light, his salvation, his stronghold. David knows that God alone can guide him and keep him in the right way. The God who loves him dearly, even more than an earthly mother and father. If you look at verse 10, it's, though my mother and father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. God's love is as great as that. And then in those last verses, David repeats his confidence and seems to be bolstering up his own faith when he tells himself to wait for the Lord for all the good things which he's sure are to come. So what does this psalm say to us today as we feel increasingly marginalized as Christians, exiles in a country which has strayed far from its Christian roots? Can we be confident in our faith in God when we're surrounded by people who profess to be just fine without him? What can we learn from David through these words? David's confidence is based on personal experience. He knows what God has done for him so far in this life. He knows God is light and life and salvation to him, the one safe place he can rely on. This is the young man who went out with his sling to face Goliath. He knows what God can do. We might not have had to face and defeat a giant Philistine with a sling and a stone, but I bet every one of us can think of a time when God was looking after us in some way, bringing us through a crisis, giving us the courage to do something difficult, nudging us to do something that we're holding back from. And look at what God has done for us in this church. Wonderful legacies just at the time when we need money. The blessing of amazing people. And just recently, the answered prayers when Amarata's appeal was successful. All these things, these personal experiences, are what gives us the confidence in God. And David's confidence is based on his relationship with God. Relationships are never just one-sided. To have a close relationship with God, who loves us and will always love us, we have to play our part. We have to give him the time, the concentration, the whole of ourselves on a regular basis. That's the only way to have a close relationship with God. David knew where he was really at home, the place where he was giving God all his attention, absorbing all that God is, basking in the warmth of God's love. This is where the roots of David's confidence are. And this is the up point of the triangle, which has such an effect on our looking in towards ourselves and out to other people. We need to look up to God first. I think that the key to having such confidence in God lies in those verses in the middle of this psalm, verses 7 to 12, when David switches from stating his faith and confidence and prays fervently that God will look after him, that God will guide him to do the right things and not to go astray. It's that humility that comes from realizing that although God always keeps his side of any covenant relationship, it's not that easy to keep our side. We all need humility to accept that we need God in our lives, that we need his guidance, that we should never take him for granted. And finally, David restates his confidence and reminds himself that the best is yet to come. He tells himself, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. He knows he needs patience. He knows he needs faith. As it says at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Waiting is never a popular concept. Nobody wants to wait for anything these days. Things have to be bought immediately, regardless of debt. Compensation has to be sought if we wait too long for trains or planes. But God doesn't work to our timetables. We have to be patient and trust in him, because all the evidence shows that his promises are kept. We know we have a future because of Jesus. We know his kingdom will come. We need to be patient and trust. Can you be confident in your faith? Confident in the God who came to us in Jesus? Think of what he's done. Draw closer to him. Be humble. Acknowledge your need. And be patient. And trust the God who keeps his promises. Let's just read that first verse of Psalm 27 together. And then we can pause just to give thanks for the reassurance in those words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, thank you for the words of this psalm. Strengthen our confidence in you. Deepen our faith. And draw us closer to you day by day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.